Weber. Allie Weber at 9:02 on a Tuesday morning. Allie's a little late, but he has a bris, so it's okay.
Okay.
And the topic is Tuma, part two.
You?
Yeah.
So, if you'll recall, and if you don't, I'll remind you. Last week we came across, it's interesting, Mitzvah 94.
94.
Which was the Mitzvah of Tuma. And the discussion moved really from like the halachos to what in the world is this mitzvah doing in the Tayag mitzvahs? And I think we saw something new, or you know, a new category of mitzvahs that we, I suppose, we knew existed, but we don't focus on much. I want to continue that discussion today because there's more to it, and I think it's even more significant than we thought last week. I don't know if I'll convince you, but I'll do my best. So let's start by looking again at the same Rambam we started with last week. Here I condensed it down, so it's much less than we did last week. But just to remind us, the Rambam says, V'hamitzvah hatzadivav, the 96th mitzvah, he shetzivanu lihiyot kol nogea binuvela tameh. The mitzvah is that anybody who touches a nuvela is tameh. That's the mitzvah. So it's bizarre, right? But just to be clear again, the example we use, you walk into shul, you see a dead cat, you touch the dead cat, you are tamei. Now, it doesn't sound like a mitzvah. So he says, u'mitzvah zo kolelet tumat nevela v'chol dina. Okay, it includes certain details. Now, says the Rambam, va'ani ezkor, Bruce, how long do I have today?
9:50.
Okay. Va'ani ezkor ata hakdama, says the Rambam, I'll give you an introduction. It says the Rambam, remember my introduction with respect to all mitzvot of Tumah. Now, I didn't realize last week how many there were. The Rambam counts 13 different types of Tumah, each of which, if you touch, you become Tameh. That's a big number. The Ramban disputes all 13, as we'll talk about in a minute, and as we mentioned last week. So the Ramban says, with respect to each of these, remember the following. Third line, v'hi. Kizeh shenimna kol min v'min min hatumot mitzvat asei. The fact that I count tumas shrotzim, and tumas this, and tumas that, each as a separate tuma, as a mitzvah, Ein inyano shenihiyeh chayavim lihitameh b'tumahahi. Certainly the mitzvah is not to touch the dead cat. V'lo gam kein shenihiyeh anachnu muzharim mehitameh ba v'tihiyeh mitzvat lo taseh. Neither are we prohibited from touching the dead cat, and therefore it would be a lo taseh. So says the Rambam, you know, everybody's always thought a mitzvat aseh means, okay, tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. A mitzvat lo taseh says, tell me what it is I'm not supposed to do. Says the Rambam, this falls into neither category. Now, va'amnam, fifth line, heyot ha-Torah omeret, ki mi sheyiga b'zeh ha-min nitma, o zeh ha-davar yitma al toar kach, l'mi shenaga bo, hi mitzvat aseh. Says the Rambam, what is the mitzvat aseh? The mitzvat aseh is a person who touches a dead cat becomes tameh. That's the mitzvah taseh. So we obviously have to readjust the definitional terms that we use. It means there's a category of mitzvah taseh that does not involve a commandment the way we think of it. It's instead of a commandment, it's a halachic result. Right? We think a mitzvah taseh is, if I have a four-cornered garment, I have to put tzitzis on it. Right? If it's sukkos, I have to sit in a sukkah. Says the Rambam, no. Sometimes there are mitzvot aseh that are simply, I should acknowledge the din. The mitzvot aseh is not an obligation. It's simply, if X, then Y. That's what the Torah told me. We'll read a little bit more, then we'll come back to discuss that. Kilomar. Four lines up from the end, in the middle. Klomar. Shizeh hadin shenitztavinu bo hi mitzvah taseh. What is the mitzvah taseh? V'hu amarnu, shemisha naga b'kach al toar kach, a person who's tor, who touches a dead thing, nitma. U'misha haya alin yankein, lo yitma. And a person who touches a pillow, doesn't become tameh. Those are depending on. Okay. Now here's the key line: v'ha'hitameh ba'atzmo rishut im ratza yitma v'im ratza lo yitma. But the Rambam knows what a chiddush is, so again he says, but it's completely optional. The mitzvah is if X then Y. Okay, now usually if X then Y is an action. Okay, if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, then Y, I have to put tzitzis on it. If I want to eat a meal and it's sukkos, that's the X, then Y, I have to sit in a sukkah. But here the Rambam says, I'm telling you, there's a new category of mitzvos. The new category of mitzvos is if X then Y, but Y is not an action. If you touch a cat, then Y, you know, you become tameh. But the touching of the cat is completely optional. That's where we have to, you know, I think that's the hardest hurdle we have.
Why include that?
It's like, because we all,
Why include that in mitzvahs? Because mitzvah means essentially commandment.
Right, but so this is correct. So the Rambam says there's a category of mitzvot that do not have a vitzivanu attached to them. Right, as I'm sure you know, being a very wise man, the Rambam was familiar
having
with the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Vitzivanu. Correct? So it's not like if we brought the Rambam here for a guest lecture. I'm guessing, first of all, Bruce would manage to get up with some breakfast if the Rambam himself came, okay? And you raise your hand and you ask that question, he wouldn't go, oh my God. It means it's exactly the point he's trying to make, that there is a category. Now, again, we think of them as 613 commandments. I think if the Rambam were here, and he spoke English, which I'm sure he would if he were here and it was English, he would say, so stop calling them 613 commandments. Now the question is, what's a better English term? I know the Rav Soloveitchik, I mentioned this last week, used to say the Rambam had 613 inyanim. Things. No, not principles, just thing. You know, halachic, Okay, I would say that there are 613 areas where there is a halachic result. Okay? And here there's a halachic result. If you touch the cat, you become tameh. That's a significant halachic result.
So that's a mitzvah? You become tameh?
It is. No, so that's exactly right. The answer is, it is part of Taryag Mitzvot. Now, I think the answer then is, if you're going to call them Taryag Mitzvot, for the Rambam, a mitzvah has to be usually a halachic imperative, but sometimes a halachic result. Why is it a mitzvah taseh, not a mitzvah lo taseh? My guess is because it involves actions. And it involves actions that are not prohibited. There's nothing wrong with touching the cat. If you do the action of touching a cat, the result is you become tameh. There's nothing wrong with becoming tameh.
And there may be a health reason.
What? Lo, avala mitzvah. No. No, I disagree. Because the Rambam says again, v'hahi tameh ba'atzmo rishut im ratza yitma. So to marriage, im ratza yiga, im ratza lo yiga. The chiddush haTorah is, if you touch, the result is you become tameh. Now, one second, I want to finish this and then you'll go. So, the Ramban, first of all, we read the Ramban last week, we won't read it again now. The Ramban says basically what everybody here says, which is, that doesn't sound like a mitzvah to me. A mitzvah is, do this, don't do this. So the Ramban rejects the Rambam completely. Okay, the Ramban says those things don't qualify as mitzvos. When you look in the Ramban Sefer HaMitzvos, he has to put in 13 mitzvos because he knocks out all of the Rambam's mitzvos with respect to Tumah. A lot of there's a Sefer called the Megillat Esther or the Megillas Esther. I think he called it after, he named it after his mother. The guy's name wasn't Esther, but his job, the whole Sefer, is to defend the Rambam against the Ramban. Okay. Like, no matter what, you look at whenever there's an attack from the Ramban on the Rambam, the Megillas Esther, it's printed in all the old editions of Sefer HaMitzvot, he defends the Rambam. I once heard Rav Schechter say, you know, he didn't like the Sefer so much only because, what, the Rambam's always right? Like, the Megillas Esther, you know, the Rambam's always right, the Ramban is always wrong. So it's hard to, but he's always there to defend the Rambam. So he says, and others following him say, there are a lot of practical implications to the mitzvah. Meaning the Rambam pretends There's no do or don't do. But a person who becomes Tameh has to go to mikvah. He's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to eat kachim. So he says, it's true, the Rambam presents it in this way, but it involves so many do's and don'ts, it does fit into the classic definition of a mitzvah, because when you look at it, the mitzvah is not so much that if you touch a dead cat, there's a chiddush HaTorah that you become Tameh, but if you touch a dead cat, you now have to go to mikvah. You now can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. You now can't eat kachim, and on and on. Okay? That's what the Megillas Esther says. I say with complete confidence, it's completely wrong. Why? He knew this. I feel like he just defended the Rambam, because that's his job. The Rambam, watch what happens now. Look at number two. It's fascinating stuff. No. The mitzvah halamed aleph. I'm just going to give you tiny bits of mitzvahs in the Rambam. Number 31. He shetzivanu l'shaleach hatmeim min hamikdash. We are commanded separately that a person who touches a cat, who's in the a dead cat in the base mikdash, we have to kick him out. It constitutes a separate mitzvah satorah. It's not part of, right? The Megillas Esther wanted to say, well, it involves a mitzvah, because a person touches a dead cat, he's not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We have to keep him out of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, but the Rambam counts that. Next one. Mitzvah Ayin Ches. He says he's here kol tamei mihi kanes l'machane l'viyah shekamohu l'dorot harabayit. The Megillas Esther says, oh, no, it has practical implications. If you touch a cat, you're not allowed to go to the harabayis. But the Rambam counts that as a separate mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah of if you touch a dead cat, you become me. Last example, there are many more as I could have brought. Mitzvah lo tasei kuf chavtes. The mitzvah kuf chavtes, he's here kol tamei me'achol kachim. If you're tamei, if you touch a dead cat, you're not allowed to eat kachim. V'amar ho yitale bi'oldot b'chol kodesh lo tiga. So, the point that the Megillas Esther wanted to make, and others after him, basically supporting everybody here, saying the Ramban seems right. It can't be a mitzvah if it doesn't involve an imperative or prohibition. But good news, it does involve many imperatives and many prohibitions, because there are a lot of halachos related to a person who touches a dead cat. But the obvious answer is, but the Rambam counted all of those separately. They're not the mitzvah of touching the dead cat. The mitzvah of touching the dead cat is, if X, then Y. If you touch a dead cat, you become Tameh. So, just why went through? So we tried to explain the Rambam Shita. We repeated over the Ramban's objection. The defense to the Ramban's objection is no, it involves some actions and some prohibitions. And I think the response to that is yes, but all of those are separate mitzvahs in the Rambam. Bruce.
You had last week removed all value judgment of this type of situation.
Correct.
But every mitzvah is really A then B, I think. And in this case, it's Erev Pesach. You don't like Pesach. You touch a dead cat. So to remove the value judgment of that, it's just A now B.
But today's not Erev Pesach.
You can't partake, but if you would,
today's not
Erev
Pesach. So we'll come to that.
Maybe
today is not Erev Pesach. We're doing today.
Maybe there's some practical health reasons involved in touching the cat. But maybe that's what the Rambam had in mind.
The Rambam doesn't say that.
Well, he thinks he's not.
If you could find me some place where the Rambam says, listen, better not to touch the dead cat. He doesn't say that. Right. He does not say that.
He probably thinks we would understand that you don't leave a dead cat in the middle of...
I don't think you should leave a dead cat in the street because it's disgusting. By the way, there are things that don't involve ases or los ases. It's just common sense. Right? I think people should pay their taxes.
There's no value in being prepared to go to the Beit HaMikdash.
We'll come to that. Apparently not. But we'll come to that. Yes?
May I make a remark?
His what?
Infection.
So that's what he wants to say. Well, he just said that the Rambam thinks it's bad to become Tameh.
The whole concept of Tameh is only it was explained in modern times by 117 is infection. Of course, that cat could be infected.
Right.
And so on. In isolation, the Kufra Machta.
Right.
In matter of fact,
The problem is.
So the problem is that in
okay.
Toma, because I don't accept Toma,
right.
I don't think this is something.
Okay, so I respectfully disagree. Again, you could be right. I don't think that's the Rambam Shita. Right. I don't think that's the Rambam Shita. I think the Ramban may have thought that. I think the Ramban may have thought that. I think the Ramban's point is to accept the mitzvah satorah. Here, let's say you touch a dead cat, okay? Now you go home. It's an infection. One second. Great. Now you go home. You take 10 showers. You wash with all kinds of, you know, antibacterial soap. You change your clothes. You do all these things. Are you tahar? No. No, you're not. Instead, what you do is you go to that dirty mikvah, you know, that nobody's cleaned in weeks. You can't even see your waist. The water's so dirty. You come out tahar. You got more infections in the mikvah than you ever would have had.
It's true in hospitals.
Okay, that's just the fact.
Some girls got pregnant.
Okay, it's like hospitals.
Nobody ever got pregnant.
Somebody has to move that dead cat.
Okay.
Or the dead body.
Okay, but there's a million kinds of tumas. You're just doing the, you know, a person has tzaras.
Tzaras. Could be infected.
Right? Could be. Could be. Tzaras habayis. What's that?
What?
What's tzaras habayis? I have tzaras habayis. Everybody has tzaras habayis. Right? The moisture gets in, you start getting those things. Okay? It's a complete halachic fiction, is what I think. By the way, because you think fiction is a bad word. I don't. I enjoy fiction, first of all. I can't read other... Okay, no. I think the Rambam is saying, and take this seriously, there's nothing more to it than the fact that the Torah said. There's nothing more to it. Again, we touched on this last week. Whatever you think about pig, and the Rama may have thought pigs were dirty or whatever, okay? It doesn't apply. The Rama, as far as I know, was not a vegetarian. In fact, he speaks pretty positively about meat. That means
chicken.
The Rambam ate meat, and he also ate milk. He didn't eat them together, but he ate meat and milk. So when you put them together, you die? No. It's a complete halachic fiction. Basar b'chalav, the Torah said, Lo sivah shel gidi b'chalav imo. Now, we can talk about all these explanations, but I think the Rambam would say that part of the mitzvah satorah is to accept that fact. To accept the fact that with no explanation and with no medical implications, you're not allowed to put butter on your steak. Not because anything bad will happen, because the Torah said so. Now, let's go further. Here's what I discovered. I only discovered it because I never knew it before. Talmid Chacham always knew this. But when we started going through the Sefer HaMitzvos, one of the points I made was nobody understands like why the Rambam started at 1 and finished at 6:13. It's clear that there are groupings of mitzvahs in the Rambam. There's no question about it. But why certain things came before other things, it certainly doesn't matter, you know, mean that they're more important or less important. The Rambam decided to group things together. Okay, and if you think why, I think it's very simple. The Rambam sat down in front of a blank piece of paper, and he had to start writing a sefer and categorizing all the mitzvahs. So obviously, when you think about them, you think about them in groups. And it makes sense for people to follow them, you know, if you go, Lahavdil, if you go like on ESPN, the website, so you could click on basketball, football, baseball, hockey, and all those articles come up together because that's the way, you know, so Lahavdil, that's how the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's clear, as we discussed, the beginning mitzvahs are more foundational, you know, belief in God and love of God, you know, but then after that, so for example, when you look in the Rambam, starting at 96, which is ours, you have all the dinim of Tumah and Tahara. And that makes sense, because they come as a grouping. The one before it is number 95. That was easy math, okay? But what is the one that comes before it in the Rambam? It seems wholly unrelated, till you actually look at it.
Holy.
Wholly unrelated.
Holy.
Okay? Till you look at it. Look at number 3. I'll just give you a tiny piece of it. Says the Rambam, Va'mitzvah Hatzadihei, 95, the one right before Tuma, He shetzivanu ladun bahafarat nedarim. We are commanded to engage in hafarat nedarim. What's hafarat nedarim?
Nullification.
Nullification is a better word. Nullification of vows. What do we call it when we do it? Right, we use the word hatarat nedarim erev Rosh Hashanah, or if you didn't go to shul erev Rosh Hashanah, God forbid, erev Yom Kippur, whatever your minhag is, everybody does hatarat nedarim. What do? You stand in front of a bezdin, you mumble some, you probably should know what it means. Oh, quick, nice story. In Boston, apparently, the story is that Rav Salvechik used to say hatarat nedarim in English.
Like me.
So a guy said to him afterwards, "Wow, Rabbi, that was very educational. Because I've been saying it my whole life, I always thought it had something to do with dreams." So the answer is, you can't be, you can't nullify your vows if you have no idea what you're saying. You have to understand what you're saying, otherwise, it's supposed to be a process. So, says the Rambam, it's a mitzvah. Now, he doesn't mean that we should all take a vow. Like, okay, now, I'm going to take a vow in God's name that if Bruce doesn't give breakfast next week, I'm not coming.
You've mentioned that a few times.
Okay, it's a theme.
We have to have an issue about it.
It's a theme I have. Okay, now.
Well, we'll talk to
now,
Marcus,
so now I'll go, but I know Bruce isn't going to get breakfast. Okay? So now, but I want to come next week. So great, every week I'll do this. Then at the beginning, I'll have a bezdin, three people will sit here, I'll ask them, I'll get a mitzvah. I'll do it every day. Every day I'll do this, and I'm not going to have dinner. And then before dinner, I'll have a bet. That's not what the Rambam means. Watch what happens. He says, Kilomar. HaTorah Shehorunu Ladun Bidinim Haheim. The Torah tells us to deal with these issues. Ve'ein ha'inyan shenitchayev lahafer al kol panim. This is the Rambam. It's not that, okay, somebody asks you to, great, now I have a mitzvah, I'll sit down, I'll be part of a bezdin, I'll get a mitzvah by being mefer a neder. V'zeh ha'inyan ba'atzmo havein mimeni. Says the Rambam, understand this idea. When you hear me count or see me count a din, I'll paraphrase, a din that's not a mitzvah. It's a din. Maybe we just found our word. I think the Rambam would say it's taryag dinim, not taryag mitzvah. So he says, when you hear me moned din acher min adinim, ki ein tzivui bepeula, I'm sorry, din echad min hadinim, thank you. Ki ein tzivui bepeula min hapeulot pehechreach. It doesn't mean go out and do it. You should go out and do it. Va'amnam hamitzvahi heyotenu mitzuvim shenodun bedin zeh bedavar zeh. It happens to be, we're commanded when you're in this situation to deal with it. Now, what I would have said originally is, I always knew this. For example, gittin, divorcing your wife, right? Nobody thinks that you should divorce your wife because it's one of the taryag mitzvahs. But this is one of the taryag mitzvahs. Okay. You laugh.
I've married 52 years. I feel no pain.
I just want to point out, sometimes you have to wait a long time to do a mitzvah. But I know your wife. I know your wife. So please don't repeat that. Okay. 52 years is nothing, right?
I'm 66.
There you go.
66 and 67.
I would say I may have asked him, but I... Okay.
I'm working on it.
I understood. Okay. Here's the thing. Kedushin is in Taryag Mitzvahs. Gittin is in Taryag Mitzvahs. So normally what we say to ourselves is, you're not supposed to do it, but if you're in the situation in which, God forbid, you have to divorce your wife, there is one and only one way to do it, and that's the Torah way, and you get a mitzvah. Okay, now, it's not a mitzvah you wanted to get, but you get a mitzvah if you do it, and more than that, if you divorce your wife not in the Torah way, let's say you don't write her a get, you just do it civilly, and then I would say, you're mevatel a mitzvah saseh, right? Right now, none of us are being mevatel a mitzvah saseh, because it doesn't apply to us. But if you wanted to get rid of your wife, and you know you wanted to do it halachically, then you would have to do it according to the Torah's way. Now, what's this like? It's like the example we often give. Let's say ma'akesh, right? If the mitzvah of Torah is, if you have a house with a porch that's more than a certain height off the ground and somebody could fall off, you have a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to put up a ma'akeh, and you get to make asher kiddushan mitzvah v'tzivanu. Okay? Now, when you're looking to buy a house or to rent an apartment, does anybody think I have to try to find a house that has a porch so that I could do the mitzvah of ma'akeh? No, of course not. It's a situational mitzvah. If you happen, right? If you're homeless, does anybody think you have to, it's a mitzvah to buy a house, because if I don't have a house, I don't have a mitzvah mezuzah? The answer is no, of course not. These are contingent mitzvahs. If you're in the situation, then you do it. You don't have to go out and be a farmer so that you could do peah and leket and shikha.
I think the comparison, you made this comparison last week, there's a problem with the comparison. Because here we're talking about personal status.
Wait, you didn't let me finish. But then,
sorry.
Okay.
I mean, no, it started last week, so
yeah. I could go for a month. You just have to wait patiently. No. Say, we would have normally thought that if you go back to the mitzvah of hafaras nedarim, it fits into that category. Meaning, if somebody comes to you and says, "Listen, I took a neder, but I'd like to be meferit," okay, great. I'll help you be mefer the neder, and I'll get a mitzvah satorah, just like these other mitzvahs. I don't think the Rambam thinks so. I thought that my whole life, till this week. I don't think the Rambam thinks so. I think the Rambam thinks that hafarat nedarim is just like tuma, and that's why he put them next to each other. I'm speculating. This is what I think. And you can understand it as follows. The way I explained it, if you get married, you get plus one, or whatever schar you get for a mitzvah. If you get married, not by an Orthodox rabbi under a chuppah with a ksuv, whatever, I say you get minus one. Okay? If you don't get married, for whatever reason, okay, you don't get, it's not plus one or minus one. You're married now, that's great. You know, if you want to get divorced, it's all very bad, but if you get divorced halachically, that's a plus one. Okay, that applies to you. Again, but I don't believe at the end of your life, you know, they just add them up, because there's no, you know, if you look at no human being in the history of the world, I think, could ever do even most of the Tariag Mitzvahs. You know, you'd have to be like a transgender Kohen who used to be a Yisrael, you'd have to be...
No Kohen would love it.
It could be. Maybe we're moving towards that. But you'd have to be a lot of different people together to get... So it's not just a question of adding them up at the end of your life. So, but that's what I always assume. So same thing. Hafaras Nedarim. If they ask you to participate, then, by the way, I always do that. Because I always thought it was... I'm like, in shul and Rosh Hashanah, everybody wants to get out first. You just want to say it and leave. I like to sit down, because I think that's a mitzvah. But now I'm...
You
need at least three. Okay? Now I think it's wrong.
Because you're a lawyer and you want to be a judge.
Now I think it's wrong. I think the Rambam thinks it just is. The mitzvah is, I made a neder, right? But now I want to eat dinner. Help me be made for the neder, says the Rambam. If I then go in front of a bezdin, then why? They could be made for the neder and I can eat dinner. No mitzvah to do it. No mitzvah not to do it. Just like tumah. It's if X, then Y. If I touch the dead cat, then my personal status is tameh. If I made for the neder, then my personal status changes from somebody who's not allowed to eat dinner to somebody who's allowed to eat dinner.
Isn't there any element, I don't like the comparison, isn't there any element
I said
of choice here? In other words,
yes.
Did you decide to become tameh? Did you actually see the dead animal or a dead body and decide to touch
it? Either way, which way is better for you?
It makes a big difference.
So which way? I think both are true, but you do it however way you want.
Because the neder is, a person had to, out of free choice, have decided to make a neder. And now he decides he wants to get out of it. Okay, with a dead body,
right?
Did you consciously decide that you wanted to touch it? You did.
So again, I don't think it matters. I think it's clear the halacha is it doesn't matter, right? You stepped on the cat by accident, you intended to touch it. The result is the same. And I would argue, although I don't think I need to, that it's the same for a neder. I was furious. you know, my wife didn't, you know, she burnt the food again. And I said, you know, that's it. I swear to, you know, I'm not eating supper here ever again in my life. So, okay, I said it, but I said it in anger. It, you know, I don't know that every decision we make is volitional and, you know, done with great forethought. But in this example, I don't think it matters. But, so this is the Rambam here. One second. So my first idea is, it's the same, these two Rambams are the same. They belong in the same category, which is, there's simply no more than if X, then Y. Now watch something interesting. The Sefer Achinuch, who I love, people miss this point all the time. The Sefer Achinuch, you know, wrote a great Sefer, and he wrote it, and he had no idea it was such a great Sefer when he wrote it. The Sefer Achinuch is, this is a fact, it is the most popular anonymous Jewish book in the history of Judaism. Why? What I said was, it's the most popular Jewish book in the history, anonymous book in the history of Judaism. Should I say it again? Now.
More than Mad Magazine.
Now. The Sefer Achinuch, who didn't think of himself as a Talmud Chacham, and which is why he desperately didn't want anybody to know who he was. By the way, you only stay anonymous if you really want to be anonymous. Right? He wrote at the beginning, I'm just going to copy the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. I'll change some things, I'll change the order, but if the Rambam counted it, I'm counting it. So you often have a situation in which the Sefer Achinuch does a mitzvah, and he says, by the way, if I were writing my own Sefer HaMitzvos, I wouldn't count this. But I'm copying the Rambam. So watch what he does with respect to our mitzvah of touching the dead cat. Okay, number four. Says the Chinuch. What's the mitzvah? Lihiyot hanivela timeya umitama. The dead cat is tameh, and it makes people tameh. Shenema v'chiyamut min habeimah shehi lachem la'achla. Okay, now. Kasev ha-Ramam zichrono livracha b'mitzvah hazot v'zeh l'shono. Then he quotes the Rambam. Then after that whole thing, he quotes the Rambam, who says the Rambam is wrong. And he says, v'im kol zeh lo yit yashev yafe im halev shenachshov inyan zeh mitzvah. Says the Sefer Achinuch, I gotta tell you the truth. I put it in my book. I don't think the Rambam is right. I don't think that something that's optional or something that's just a din belongs in the Tariag Mitzvos. Va'achein, he says, however, lo nasur midach rabbeinu b'cheshbaneinu yaminu smol keshe yadanu batchila. He says, as I told you already, I'm still not changing the, you know, the Rambam wrote it, I'm counting it. So by the way, whenever you hear somebody like give a shiur, I always, you know, these are the things I find funny. No one else will find it funny. You know, people go, most of the Moneh HaMitzvos count this as a mitzvah. The Rambam, the Chinuch. See, the Chinuch doesn't count anything as a mitzvah. He just copied the Rambam. When you say the Rambam for Sefer HaMitzvos purposes, it includes the Chinuch. When you look in the Chinuch, he tells you the truth, which is, I'm counting this mitzvah of Tumah, I'm explaining this mitzvah of Tumah, it, you know, it's Torah, but in the end I'm going to tell you, if I was doing it from scratch, I wouldn't count it. That's what the Sefer Achinuch says with respect to Tumah. Now let's see what he says with respect to Hafarat Nedarim. No, because we're going to run out of time. Flip over. Says the Sefer Achinuch, this is the, by the way, just to be clear, the harder part is, the Sefer Achinuch, what he did was, he broke up the mitzvos by Parshiyot. Which is good, it's great for us, and it's easy because it makes it much easier to find a mitzvah in the Sefer Achinuch. In the Rambam, you got to look through the whole thing because, again, it doesn't go in any particular order. But in the end, the Chinuch's list and the Rambam's list match up. They're just in different orders, right? Oh, but it's good, if you ever want to show off, it's good to know like one or two by heart. Meaning, I once memorized the Rambam, it's a famous one, the Rambam on Kiddush HaChodesh, which also has like Zionism in it, is Kuf Nun Gimel. Okay? Kang. It was easy for me to remember Kang, like I remembered it. What was I going to do with it? One time I'm sitting in a group of people, like learners, whatever, and a guy said to me, it was before like Bar Ilan, and he said, you know, I have to give a shiur on Kiddush HaChodesh, and Mitzvos, you know, Kiddush HaChodesh, now I got to go find it in the Rambam, which used to mean, you know, so I said, you know, Kuf Nun Gimel. Every once in a while you hold on to some bizarre piece of information and you drop it, you know, it's like
You became king.
Okay. Correct. Exactly. Well, if you hang out in the yeshiva, this stuff matters. Okay, now, look at number five. Says the Chinuch, Shenitztavinu b'mitzvat hafarat nedarim. Kilomar, Shenodun b'mishenodar kasher titzavei Torah. That a person who comes and he wants to get rid of his neder, we have to do it the way the Torah commanded us. Shenemar, ish ki yidor neder. Kmo sheba mevuar b'parsha. V'tosav ha-Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam. Now, watch this. V'ulam ha-Ramban zal b'hasagatav l'sefer ha-mitzvah sham, the Ramban, katav she'ein limno din ze klal mi'cheshbon ha-mitzvah. Now again, the Ramban is l'shitaso. The Ramban thinks you don't count the mitzvah to be tamei as a mitzvah because it doesn't involve an imperative or prohibition. The Ramban's the same thing with hafaras nedarim. It's optional. Okay? V'zeh l'shono. V'chein yira'eh, this is the Ramban, shehafarat nedarim lo timneh l'fi shehi shlilut. It's a negation. Shenitztaveinu la'asot kol ha'yotzei mipinu v'shelo nachel devareinu rak al pi ha'avo habal ad kan. Meaning the rule is, if you take a neder, you have to keep your word. If you want to get out of it, there are ways to do it. The husband, the father, a Beis Din can get rid of it, but it doesn't involve an imperative or a prohibition. And he says, v'divrei pi chacham chein. And what the Ramban says is beautiful. But he doesn't say what he says explicitly with respect to Tumah. With respect to Tumah, he says, the Rambam is wrong. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that I'm copying the Rambam, I wouldn't count this. Here he says, the Ramban makes a nice point, but he doesn't say the Rambam is wrong. What's the difference? The difference is, and some Achronim say this, but I think it makes complete sense. The difference is that for the Chinuch, Hafaras Nedarim involves an action. What's the action? The action is establishing a Beis Din that can be mefer, that can nullify the neder. That seems like something that could be a mitzvah saseh. It's true, you don't have to do it, but I think the Chinuch would say, against the Ramban, the Chinuch would say, listen, I don't go as far as the Rambam, where if it's a din, it gets into Tarag mitzvahs. If X, then Y. But if X, then I have to do the action of Y. That gets in. You know what that's like? That's like Kiddushin, that's like Gittin, that's like Makeh, that's like Mezuzah, that's like all the mitzvahs we have. And when you think about it, it's almost every mitzvah. Think about it. What's the mitzvah of matzah? No. If it's Tesvav Nisan at night, X, then Y, I have to eat matzah. What's the mitzvah of sukkah? If it's between Tesvav Nisan, you know, Tesvav Tishrei, and then I have to, in a way, you know, what I'm coming around to is like, no, all the mitzvahs are like this. We just don't think of them that way. Okay, so now you have this in. So now, now we have three shitas really. The Rambam, who says a din counts as a mitzvah, if X then Y, it counts as a mitzvah. The Ramban, who says no, only mandatory actions, you know, that you have to take, would count as a mitzvah. So hafaras nedarim is not mandatory. Kiddusha, of course, the Ramban recognizes contingent mitzvahs, right? Contingent mitzvahs. I want to get married. Now I have a mitzvah. Okay, and the Chinuch says no. I gotta find some action involved in the mitzvah, even if I didn't have to do it. But if it has some action, then I'll count it as a mitzvah. Everybody with me? Now, I actually think, now that I've thought about it, and now that I've looked at it, that the Rambam has many, many more examples, and that in the Rambam, for example, I don't even think you get a plus one for Hafaras Nedarim. And maybe you don't get a plus one for Kiddushin, and maybe you don't get a plus one for Gittin. Maybe I've been wrong my whole life. I'll give you one example, and we can talk about some others depending on how much time we have. Look at the next one. Okay, normally we just do one mitzvah, but I can't. You know, I'll quote the small parts of it. Look at number six. Va'mitzvah kuftes 109. He shetzivanu shenitbol b'mein mikvah va'az nitar. Now this seems great. It's the back end of the cat thing. If you touched a dead cat, says the Rambam, there's mitzvah to go into a mikvah and to become tahor. Okay? So you'd think, and Bruce will love this, the answer is, you know, you, as soon as you touch the cat, you got to go to the mikvah. Because then you could go to the Beis HaMikdash right away. You know, it's, you'll be in a tahor state. Wrong. Watch what he says. Now, end of the second line. Listen to this. Ve'ein hakavana ba'amarnu shehatfila mitzvat asei. I don't mean when I say that going to mikvah is a mitzvah to say sheyihyeh chayav kol tamei sheyitar al kol panim, that it means that if you touch a dead cat you have to go to a mikvah. Kimoshu chayav kol mi sheyitkase biksut sheyase tzitzit. The Rambam says, right, if I tell you there's a mitzvah, so you go, okay, it sounds like a regular mitzvah. What's a regular mitzvah? If I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, I have a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to put tzitzis on it. The Rambam says it sounds like the same. If I touched a dead cat, I have a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to jump in a mikvah. Says the Rambam, no. Oh, kol mi sheyelo bayit sheyaseh ma'akeh. Our best example, right? If I have a porch, I have to build a railing. Says the Rambam, it's not true. Romez el zeh hashoresh shebayarti lecha ki zed din, not a mitzvah, a din. Levad mi sheyirtse sheyitaher. If there's a person who wants to become tahor, ya'aseh kach. V'zeh hadin hu ha-mitzvah. Listen to this. What the Rambam says is it's exactly parallel to the mitzvah of Tumah. The mitzvah of Tumah is, if I touch a dead cat, I become tameh. Says the Rambam, you know what the mitzvah of mikvah is? We've all misunderstood it. The mitzvah of mikvah is, if I go in a mikvah, when I come out, I'm tahor. Not that I'm supposed to go into a mikvah, not that I'm chayv to go into a mikvah, not that, you know, I'm supposed to be tahor. No. It's if X, then Y. It's just the chiddush haTorah. It's a din. It's not an action. And I'm not making this up. We'll just finish. Now the Rambam's going to touch on Bruce's point, which is, second to last full line, v'ulam, sheyihyeh chayav tfila al kol panim lo. You are not obligated to go to a mikvah. Aval mi sheyirtse sheyishaer betumato. Person who wants to remain tameh. Velo yikanes lemachanesh chinah zman rav. And not go for a while to the Beis HaMikdash. Harishut biyado. Now, we could all say, he's a bad, you know, who would want to be tameh and not be able to go to the Beis HaMikdash? But the Rambam says, today is Yud Aleph Teves. Yud Beis Teves. The next time we have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, God willing, the Beis HaMikdash will be built, is the middle of Nisan. Says the Rambam, and that's why I think he used those words, a person who wants to be tamei zman rav, not forever, because that's your point, you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash for Shalosh Rukh, you know there are times you have to go, but assuming you don't have to go zman rav, it's all fine. There are more, you know, now that I'm looking into it, the Rambam has a large category of mitzvos that are value neutral, and the mitzvah is, again, not a mitzvah but a din. The din is, if X, then Y. You don't want Y, don't do X. Right? You don't want to become tameh, you don't want to become tahar, don't jump in a mikvah. Yeah.
Okay. If these two are personal status mitzvahs, tahar, tameh.
Right.
How about if you're born a Jew? Is there a mitzvah to have a bris? But that's a separate mitzvah that then...
For sure. It's a separate mitzvah.
There is an actual mitzvah to have a bris, which changes your... Which doesn't change your status.
It does. I just went to a bris this morning. The kid, I saw him, he was an RL. Then he got a bris.
No, but it's not just a consequence of your being born a Jew.
Correct. Of course, I'm not suggesting that every mitzvah is a personal status mitzvah. Eating matzah doesn't change your status. It's
a
mitzvah.
Well, that's a time-dependent thing. That's not a personal status issue.
Correct.
Being born a particular way is like being born tummy or tahor.
You're right. That we, if we had more time, it could turn out that every change in personal status is in tarag mitzvahs.
Okay.
That here's a good example. To be the mitzvah of gerus. Now the mitzvah of gerus doesn't apply to Gentiles. It's not one of the Zion mitzvahs, Bnei Noach. But who could ever get the mitzvah? What? But who could ever get the mitzvah of Geirus? That's the classic, that the greatest change of status possible. So, you know, even, for example, when a Geir goes to mikvah, you know the rule is, we always make a bracha over lasiyasa. You have to make a bracha on a mitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Matzah, everything is like that. You know, tefillin. Except...
women lighting candles.
Well, so women is always a problem with that. When women go to mikvah, okay, you know, if you ever discuss this at home, they make a bracha on the way out. So why? Why don't they make a bracha before? So the answer is because Geirim can't make a bracha before because they're not Jewish. So they made a low plug. Chazal said, anytime you go to mikvah, we'll let you do the bracha afterwards. But Geirim can't make a bracha before because they're not Jewish. Women can make a bracha before. You can make a bracha when you're in Nida. It's not a problem at all. They do it all the time. But there's something unique about it. So you could be right in that every single change of status in halacha will be counted by the Rambam. And I bet you are right.
Why can't the goy
but that's not. But that doesn't affect the hundreds of other mitzvahs that don't relate to changes of status.
Why can't the goy bless God? Probably.
The guy can't make a bracha.
Why not?
Come on, you know why not. He, at some point, you know, goyim can... I had these Christian fundamentalists in my house. They bless God every 30 seconds. But they, you know, but they don't do it with our nusach, and they don't do it the way we do it. Now, look at the chinuch. Let's just finish quickly. Look at the chinuch on this, number 7. Says the chinuch. No, here. V'noheges mitzvah zo shel tvila b'chol makom v'chol zman v'zichorim u'kevo. Shem mitzvah aleihem kishiyirtzu lehitaher mitumatam sheyitbalu b'mayim. Here's exactly the chinuch l'shitaso. The chinuch says, if there's an action associated with it, I'm happy to count it as a mitzvah, even if you're not obligated to do the action. And I think the chinuch thinks a person who goes to a mikvah gets plus one. You know, you don't have to, but it's just like makkah, it's just like every other mitzvah. I think for the Rambam, you don't get plus one. You just get the change of status. The Rambam will say, the mitzvah, well, the din is that you go in Tameh and you come out Tahar. You don't have to go in, you don't have to come out, you don't have to do any of that. But if you do it, you do it. Now, just to sum up, I think the answer is as follows. There are really three categories of mitzvos that the Rambam has as mitzvot aseh. One are, and just to get out of it, one are uncontingent, absolute obligations that we have. A person has to have a bris milah, right? Some for men, some for women. You have to daven every day, the Rambam says. That's what you have to believe in God. Not contingent on anything. Okay? Then you have contingent mitzvot. Contingent mitzvot have two groupings. One are contingent ones that come whether we want them or not. Again, matzah is contingent. You need the date to come. Shabbos, you need to, you know, when this date comes, you have an absolute obligation. Okay? Then you have others. So the Rambam would say those are real mitzvot the way we think of them. Okay? But then I think the Rambam thinks there are other ones where they're just out there. If you want to get married, this is the way to do it. No plus one, no minus one. Just this is the way to do it. If you, you know, if you want to get divorced, this is the way to do it. If you want to become tahar, this is the way to do it. But it's never obligatory on. Now, maybe Bruce would argue, there might be truth to that, the day before, you know, Pesach, it might be obligatory. But it doesn't change the fact that our new terminology is the Rambam has a bunch of mitzvot aseh and a bunch of dinim aseh. Okay? And there's a pretty big category of things that are either personal status or simply like hafarat nedarim. If I want to change something, if I want to achieve a certain result, I do it. It's completely up to me. And I think what makes it a mitzvah for the Rambam, what makes it a mitzvah is you're accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzeira. You know full well that when you go, whatever you had going into the mikvah, you have coming out. If it was a bacteria, if it was a real thing. Like Basar B'chal, like, I accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right now I'm Tameh, when I come out, I'm tahar. Why? I could put you under some microscope and look, tsaras habayis. What is it? Nothing. I'm just accepting the fact, and I think the Rambam thing, so the Rambam, that's like a core part of being frum. A core part. I mean, we think of the Rambam as being the great rationalist and explaining everything, but the Rambam is also a genuinely religious man, and I think that He thinks there are all these mitzvahs that simply accepting the if X, then Y, which doesn't correspond to any natural phenomenon, that's the mitzvah. Even though it only to us, it looks like a din. Have a great week. Next week, Bruce is getting breakfast.
You're next week, right?